Baby Pictures Famous Dictators Podcast, Episode 10. Talking the NBA season and playoffs with Blake LaRue. Blake is a cartoonist, NBA analyst, combo guard, babysitter. His resume is available by request. Just email us. And he's throwing out a challenge. Anyone, anywhere in the greater metropolitan New York City area, he will play basketball with you as long as you give him 2 hours' notice. Blake, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it, Carmen.
This was one of the better NBA seasons on record. There was always a narrative through the season, and in relation to other sports, the NBA had a great year. Maybe tell people why you're so passionate about basketball relative to other sports, how this year stood out for you. Grand view stuff.
Well, to use like a stupid buzzword, like, I mean, I think the product of the NBA right now is like, by far, like, better than the product of other sports. There's just like...
Which one of those words? Product is the buzzword?
Product is the buzzword, okay. Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, we're getting into a bad conversation if I'm talking about, like, lives of these players as a product for my enjoyment. But there's just so much talent, and it's spread around in a way that is interesting, and there's people who are, successful for different reasons, and I just think that the diversity of talent and like the spread of it is really at its peak, and I couldn't be more excited about NBA basketball, which is, when played at the highest level, the most exciting sport, I will say, maybe boldly, but yeah.
I can agree. The personas in the NBA extend past the game, I think, more so than any other sport, and is doing so very acutely.
I mean, there's some
right
simple factors for that. I mean, like, they're not wearing helmets. You can, like, see, like,
you're closer to the sport when it's seen live than any other.
It's the fewest number of athletes, like, on the court at a time for, like, a major sport, other than maybe, I don't know, tennis or something, but... Yeah, and they also just have the best Twitter accounts, so, you know, like...
The absolute unrivaled best.
So in terms of, like, having access to, like, these specimens, these, like, these really incredible human beings, like, I mean, I think it's a really incredible time, and, yeah, I mean, there was some crappy stuff that happened. We're going to the playoffs without, like, three of the best players in the league, and yet there's still so much to talk about and explore, so...
Great synopsis. Just to give a quick rundown, what we're going to talk about today. We're going to do our NBA year winners and losers, give our biggest surprises, we're going to talk about some unfortunate injuries and maybe how, if we had magical powers, we would repair them. Games of the year, tweets of the year. Then we're going to predict the playoffs for everyone, all our gamblers and bettors out there, to make them some money.
And we get a cut of that. We get 25% of every bet you make.
But we're negotiable.
Slightly.
We'll go down to 22.5%.
Yeah, if you want to hedge, we'll talk. But, yeah, sounds fun.
Great. Let's do our NBA year-end award winners. I'm going to go through mine. I'm going to say mine first. You say yours. We're going to do a little repartee.
We'll go category
back and
by
forth.
Category. Sure, yeah.
Start with MVP. You want to start lowest, go highest, or highest, go lowest, at least in terms of reverence?
Lowest reverence first is always the way to go.
Executive of the year.
Executive of the year. Go ahead.
I have Daryl Morey of the Houston Rockets.
And why do you have that, Carmen?
How he integrated advanced sabermetrics into his building of the team. He took a team that I think before, when he took over last season, anyone I think would have said they would be one of the worst teams in the West, if not the worst. He took a big risk on Jeremy Lin, or at least a perceived risk, I think. People thought we didn't have enough time with him. I always thought he was actually a great player. And that he had a lot of potential. And the money... And it's only a 3-year contract, so he's... Even then, he was smart about it and would be able to flip it if it didn't pan out the way he wanted to. But I think the James Harden trade was the most transformative trade or move by anyone the entire season. And that turned that team from maybe a bottom conference, not even an idea, to someone who could feasibly make it to the second round and people wouldn't be surprised.
And something that's incredible...
Also, they're incredible to watch. Watching that team is awesome. Not on the defensive end, but... Especially, I mean, on the offensive end, they're a league pass lock-it-in team.
And they're so good. I mean, they're such a surprise this year, the Rockets, just because they're so good they have the least experience of any team in the NBA.
Right.
They're have the youngest core unit. They have no real visible, like, veteran presence. And the fact that they're succeeding as they are is very much a testament to whatever Morey's done and McHale. And it's just cool to see a team, like, succeed like that, because you just don't think that it's possible. In this day and age.
But you think the Spurs executive, R.C. Buford, is the executive of the year.
Like, from the level of scouting and from the level of their draft picks. Like, I mean, the Spurs have been drafting in, like, the late first round, late second round for the past...
15 years.
Yeah, for the past decade, and they're still able to get guys like Kawhi Leonard, who is just one of my favorite players to watch in the NBA, period. They're able to convert sort of these, like, soft...
Tiago
like,
splitters.
International centers... into, like, these guys who are now kind of tough. And I just think that, I mean, that's not necessarily RC doing that. I mean, a lot of that is the best coach in the league, Greg Popovich. But, I mean, I think...
That's the next. Don't go ahead.
But he's not going to win any awards this year, Carmen. Let me tell you that. But, yeah, I think that just as a system and as just, like, a leader of a system, I think that the Spurs are just still, I mean, so by far, like, just, like, so much stronger and so much more... just detail-oriented than any other team, and I really like just their team this year, and I don't know, I hope they don't have James Harden hit a bunch of late-game threes to knock them out of the playoffs.
It's such a great point of reference for small-market teams. They set sort of a precedent that I think the Rockets have sort of absorbed, and right. It's about building, for those teams, chemistry more so than a player you build around everyone at the same time, or build them around each other.
And just have trust with younger players, just have trust with players, like know that it takes a couple years for them to like really be, you know, NBA caliber. They've been fortunate enough to have like an incredible core, but you know, it's really is remarkable for NBA teams to be as patient as the Spurs are.
Coach of the year. I have Mr. George Karl of the Denver Nuggets.
What did he do? What did he do?
Same thing he did every year. Play, take a team with no talent, no names, and they're the third best team in the best conference in the past 15 years. Five teams of 55 wins.
Carl's been incredible. Like, that team is so fun to watch. I think he's been dreaming about a team like this, though, ever since Melo was
Has
there.
He? Has anyone ever dreamed of a team like that?
I think Carl always knew that he could get his scrubs to run in that high altitude. And
the altitude helps.
Yeah, they're incredible at home. It's hard to say Coach of the Year because, I mean, like, just based on achievement alone and, like, how good a team can be, I think you've got to give it to... Spoelstra. I'm not going to give it to Spoelstra.
Please don't.
But like the way that they can take an already good team and make them like so much better. Their offense is more complicated now. They are running like really sort of difficult sets, and they've created an environment where LeBron can be the best player in history. Like, I mean, obviously that sounds like a little bit cheesy or easy to do, but I don't know. I think it's kind of great. That this true sign of achievement is just like season success. So that in that respect, I would give it to Spoelstra. But I'm actually this year I'm going to give it to Woodson.
I admire that pick
solely because
it's a homer pick for me.
It's a homer pick, and it's not a homer pick for me. I think the Knicks are like a really strange assortment of humans, but
so weird.
But that's
it's a Coney Island sideshow.
Exactly. It's like this weird. It's like a old Coney Island sideshow. You know, you got the guys who should have been out of the game.
The bearded woman should have shaved a long time ago, but there she is. Yeah. Kurt Thomas
bringing up the ball. Yeah, we have to watch what we say.
Yeah.
No, but they did just sign Quentin Richardson.
Too soon.
Too soon to...
Do you know where Quentin Richardson ranks on the all-time three-pointers list? Where do you think he ranks?
Much higher than I would imagine.
Guess.
I would say maybe 40th?
44th.
Oh, my goodness.
Great guess.
Well, there you go. You can take that one to the bar and talk about that when they're when he's killing the Celtics on Saturday.
So everyone's opening line to the girl tonight. Do you know how many? Do you know where Quentin Richardson ranks all time in three pointers made?
And if you use that, you also have to give us a cut of that girl. So,
do you think he's higher? Yeah, 25% of the girl. Shins on down. Anyway, Coach of the Year. You have Mr. Woodson.
Woodson, just because, I mean, I think Melo is probably a really difficult player to coach, partly because he is so good, and partly because, like, his individual skills, like, to a player who has those, always seem like the right option. And I think that the way that he's been able to work him into the system and have him distribute the ball more and have him just be just like just the maturity of Melo is in itself, I think, like a testament to Woodson and his coaching style. And I think that You know, he's really assembled these, like, this strange assortment of people around him, and they've had a lot of success. I think it's a cool, strange team, and I hope they hit their threes in the playoffs.
More credit to Woodson. He, more so than I think of a lot of other coaches who have a star player, has a lot of faith in his bench, will put the weird, super small Copeland at the four lineup out with Prigioni and Kidd, and not even J.R. Smith sometimes. Like, he'll put awful James White out there, and he'll leave them out there for 7 or 8 minutes, and Copeland can produce, and he's not sort of, he doesn't have that anxiety I think a lot of coaches that have a star player have, right, to get him back out there as soon as possible. I think that's helped Carmelo as much as a lot of the other stuff.
And they've suffered a ton of injuries, and I think coaching through injuries is always like a test.
Not to forget that their highest paid player, obviously not their best player, but their highest paid player has played 20 games this season.
That's true, yeah.
That would derail a lot of other teams.
He's done an awesome job with like some sort of like unique circumstances, and yeah, I don't know. I have a lot of respect for him and his eyebrows and all of his facial
hair. The
goatee.
Thickest goatee in the world. Congratulations.
So, yeah. No,
most improved. This is the thorniest category to pick. It makes no sense. How do you gauge this? Whatever. They need to eliminate this category, I think.
I mean, there's no good way to do it.
How do you differentiate between a person who was in his first year, had limited playing minutes, all of a sudden goes to 30 minutes a game, 30, 40 minutes a game, between like a guy who's late in his career and has always sort of been in a rut and is now very good?
It's crazy. There's different tiers of it. I mean, like, there's a tier of like good players who got better, which is pretty interesting because like a lot of like superstars.
I mean, there's a LeBron James most improved argument somewhere.
Exactly. I mean, he's had an unbelievably efficient year. He's totally changed his game to be this like this machine of efficiency. It's really incredible what he's done. So he would be a candidate for that. But then you could also like, I don't know, pull a guy who didn't even play last year and just actually like fit into a rotation this year, and that is like a valid argument as well, like a PJ Tucker or like a Earl Clark, these right. guys who are like Clark, non-existent
Clark
who are, yeah I mean like who are you know maybe just D'Antoni being a coach is like and like having desperate circumstances is like the
primes players for sanities.
Yeah, he's like the leading coach of improving players in a really awful sense. But yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of different ways to judge it. I mean, you could even judge it of players who just like were bench players and then got traded and became starters. I mean, that's another way to judge it. You'd have like the Ashiks and like the Hardens in that argument. Vucevic.
Perfect segue to me.
Okay, anyway, go ahead. So Carmen,
I have James Harden as my most improved player.
And so you're judging based on this new role, like this.
Yes. Well, besides that he was a bench player, and there was mostly it's pressure for me that
right.
anyone else you can give a most improved argument for doesn't have the pressure that James Harden has, that he suddenly went from third best on his team, even though he was still one of the top 15 players in the NBA, to being the one guy. We are channeling our offense through you, and we are an offensive minded team, and he totally stepped up to the challenge. He was, what, fifth in points in the league? Very bad on defense. Very bad on defense. But
he's got some help, so.
He's and he has, what, one of the best defensive centers in the league, and Parsons plays good defense. And actually, Lynn is an average defender, or maybe even better. Who knows? Guard-wise, he's a pretty good defender. But he takes a lot of plays off, I think, because of how much he carries the offense.
Yeah, he's doing a lot every play. And, like, the way he's been able to, like, score in this role, I think it can't be understated, because it's one thing to, you know, hit like a good percentage of your shots when you're shooting, you know, like 8 or 9 shots a game and you have a lot of rest and you have your legs under you. And it's another to be doing it in a fourth quarter when you've been playing 40 minutes
right.
and you've been getting fouled a lot. And his durability has been really a surprise to me. I think a lot of other players haven't been able to do that.
And I think a lot of it is how he paces himself, that he doesn't take low percentage shots ever. He'll take a three, or he'll be inside the paint whenever he
right.
shoots, and I think LeBron wised up to some of that, a lot of the sort of advanced stats that were going around, because LeBron's game almost also doesn't have a lot of the jumpers.
It's been purely in the paint. Yeah,
yeah.
It's
he's living remarkable. In the low post.
Got to get to the line.
Who's your most improved?
I'm going to go with the, I mean, I love so many of these improved players. I love like guys like Larry Sanders.
Love Larry Sanders.
I love Splitter. I love Vucevic. They're all like have done an incredible job this year that I never would have expected them to playing ways I never would have expected them to be. There's also like a weird improved player I want to mention. Just give a shout out to like Vince Carter. A few years ago, I was watching a Suns game, and he was on the court, and I thought it was a con. I thought it was like this weird scheme.
Ashton Kutcher.
And he would be laughing into the camera with every possession because he was so out of shape and he did not belong on this stage. And this year he's been awesome. He's been just like this weird 3-point bomber who makes smart plays in crunch time. So I'm gonna give a shout out to him, but I'm gonna award my most improved player to Steph Curry.
Ooh.
Just because I want to give him an award because I think he's had an amazing year and he's not going to win.
Give
other
him
awards.
Something.
Yeah, exactly.
Give him something before
but
it gets better.
Also, I mean, here's this guy who like whose durability was questioned, whose ability as a point guard was questioned, who's, you know, had good years, like, I mean, like in the last couple of years, and like who's been able to, you know, play pretty well, but this year he truly entered like an upper echelon, and I think that he's as fun to watch as any player in the league. I mean, the Knicks game is a testament to that, but he just does so much and has led his team to the playoffs, and I think that counts for something. So I think that good players who get a lot better should be rewarded, because oftentimes that's the hardest thing to improve upon, is being really good.
No, watching his shot, the way, how fluid it is, and how sort of the way that they would teach you to shoot a basketball, I think, but how he does it in a way that's his own, that makes it better. It reminds me of how, like, Ken Griffey Jr. would swing a baseball bat that was sort of counterintuitive, right. But it was so fluid that it actually made him better. Like, Steph Curry's shot reminds me of that.
I mean, we all should be imitating his shot if we could, but I don't know if we really can. I definitely imitated Ken Griffey's swing.
Enough of the gush session, though.
Yeah.
We're going to go into rookie. We're not even going to discuss this because I don't think there's an argument, I think, no. For others. We're just going to say Damian Lillard, congratulations. You win the Rookie of the Year.
Good job, Damian.
ESPN, you can quote us on that. Will Bond and Kornheiser. Be like, Blake and Carmen said, Lillard, it's over. Defensive Player of the Year. Maybe you go with this one. You start. You go.
I mean, I would love to give it to my favorite player in the NBA, Tony Allen.
whose tweets we'll get to later.
Yeah, who's really...
a shutdown defender.
Just a shutdown defender. In a league where it's so difficult to defend guards, period. I mean, because the guards are so good right now. I think he does as good of a job as any. Maybe Iguodala a little bit. But, yeah, I think that, I mean, he's such a menace. He's so high energy. He does a lot of intangible things.
Avery Bradley, maybe.
Yeah, he sort of didn't play all year, yeah, but true. Avery definitely is someone I would love to stick on any point guard. But, I'm going to go with his teammate, Marc Gasol, just because I think that he represents this new phase of really great big man, paint defense. He moves his feet so well. He's not the biggest guy or the tallest guy, but he's always in the right spot. And I think that he really is the anchor of an incredible defensive team, and it's fun to watch.
I'm going with LeBron James.
What did he do? What did he do?
He plays four positions at once. And no matter what, they will... When they need to, they obviously don't put him on the best player on the other team at all times, but when they need to, he will do it, and that person stops scoring the basketball.
I mean, I can't imagine the fear of, like, coming down the court and then having the matchup be changed from, like, Chalmers to that guy. Like,
well, very, very few people, they always compare him to Michael Jordan, but physically, he's like Karl Malone. He's, like, 6'8", 6'9", 250 pounds of pure muscle, and it's... horrifying, especially when he's sometimes covering guards. You put him on Chris Paul, it's like, what is he gonna do? Even, I mean, they put centers on Chris Paul sometimes, but
not on purpose, but yeah, no, I mean, he's LeBron is, I mean, you can,
and the defensive system that they have is, it's really weird with the switches that they do and stuff. I don't think LeBron earlier in his career would have made the effort, I think, to understand the system that he was playing in defensively. But now they sort of made that psychological leap, so to speak.
Well, and they also...
It's really there.
I mean, he's been playing the four most of the year, which is, like, that's the big change. Like, oh, sorry, Joel Anthony, but, you know, like, I mean, that is why, Spoelstra is, I think, interesting to me, is because he's finding ways to make, like, this team better. And, like, LeBron at the four is just so... For a league that's already going small, it's just so powerful. I don't know... And you can just give the defensive award to, like, one of his many chase-down blocks, which are...
Insane.
Which are ridiculous.
We can link to one in the appendix.
Just considering, like, how, like, far you have to run to do that, and then jump, and then, yeah. You know, time
and
it.
And then more so than any other player, he turns defense into offense for how quickly he gets back and will play I mean, get into transition defense as quickly as possible.
So, yeah, that's a pretty valid answer. But it's boring to just give LeBron all the awards.
Why not, though? I hate him. I hate LeBron James. You know, you have to give respect.
Still?
Respect, Steve.
So you still hate him. Still hate him. So what do you hate about him still?
I think it's representative of how frivolous, like, the American public is, that all you have to do is win, and we absolve you of all crimes.
But has he just done that, or do you think he's grown as a person enough to, like...
He's grown as a person, but it took 10 years. There was still 10 years of him being, like, a fucking brat, an idiot.
And so...
Turning his back on his hometown to you know... And then I have the whole sort of consolidation of talents argument, which I think sort of...
Huh.
Also, I mean, I don't consider their win in the championship a win at all. That was totally fixed by the NBA to sell more jerseys. Ooh. Anyway, moving
That'll
on.
That'll be in a later podcast.
That's a conspiracy theory after
Alex.
The show. The fix was in. Those port there said, Kevin Durant will give you two championships in a couple of years. You're fine. Anyway, sixth man of the year.
It can't be LeBron, I guess, right?
No, it's not LeBron.
It's going to go... I mean, there's a couple decent candidates.
You have arguments for this? I was going to say, give it to the best player in the league, J.R. Smith.
You can give it to him. Yeah, go ahead. Why should we give it to J.R. Smith?
Sweet. We can get through this really quickly then. J.R. Smith, you win the sixth man. And MVP LeBron?
And LeBron MVP, of course.
Moving on to losers of the year. Least valuable player.
I mean, the worst player I've seen on a court this season is Chris Duhon for the Lakers.
I mean, oh, so you're saying a person who actually played. I'm going with someone who didn't even play and derailed the team.
Oh, who? Danny Granger? Oh, go ahead.
Andrew Bynum. Of the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
The only windfall pro that I got, mostly all cons for the 76ers. Nothing but horrible, horrible results for them in the Andrew Bynum trade. But the Magic were at least more interesting with Vucevic. Like, the Magic had a really weird bad team.
Oh, they had a fun bad team. They won
they
a bunch
really
of games against Golden State early on. And, yeah, Andrew Bynum, I mean, has been... He gets, like, the Amanda Bynes Award for, like, what will...
Weird sexual tweets.
How will they appear, like, in some sort of strange photograph you see on the internet next?
A half Jerry curl for a while.
Oh, and yeah, his bowling incident. I mean, like, it's just sort of, it's fascinating. I would love for, like, the in-depth profile of, like, what he does in his free time as, like, an injured seven-footer in, like, a strange city. But until we get that slice of humanity, we just have this, like, this strange disappointment. So, yeah, sorry, Andrew.
Oh, you're giving it to him too?
Yeah, I'll give it. That's a much better choice than I had. My categories mix up.
I mean, we could. Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. Okay, worst bench player. You want to give
that
it to
would be
Duhon.
Chris Duhon.
There
yeah,
go Duhon.
He just looks like when he runs onto the court, he looks like this kid who's like at his first like soccer game, and he's just like happy to be there, and like sort of like just running around with his head up. Yeah, he's. I mean, I don't like to say NBA players are bad, but he's pretty bad.
So. Yeah, sort of when probability's mathematical. It has to be someone on the Bobcats, so the worst team, and they actually have a bench. I don't know.
That's true, yeah.
Worst defensive player of the year.
Oh, gosh.
This is really... I put Kobe. He lives in the passing lane and then quits.
I would say I would give it to his teammate. I mean, I'm a Nash apologist. I love him to death, but like this year, more than ever, he's just looked like this, like a chaser. Like I don't know, it's bizarre. He doesn't even try anymore. So.
In defense of both of those players, though, D'Antoni doesn't coach defense.
No, but they're also grown men who should be able to
internalized it by now.
Seen tape of themselves. So yeah, I blame D'Antoni for a lot, but not that. I think they're. There are two players who are trying to, like, maximize their usefulness elsewhere. So.
It's working in some cases, not working in others.
Yeah.
Not to mention names. The worst rookie of the year.
Who do you have?
Royce White of the Houston Rockets.
Oh, okay, yeah.
This is where Daryl Morey's risk-taking philosophy didn't pay off.
He was an interesting story, I guess.
Got a lot of good Grantland articles out of it, though.
Certainly, yeah. A lot of internet writers who are, you know, have anxiety issues had a forum to air that stuff out. So, you know, that's good for them. I guess it was productive in that sense. I'm sure there are other rookies who didn't inspire as much writing, but yeah, no.
Anthony Davis's a lot of his commercials were horrible.
Yeah. I would also say Austin Rivers was a pretty shitty rookie. So.
No, he's actually... I could see an argument. Because he actually played, but he still might be a more...
But he played, but he was
more
like
of a cancer to the team. Than
historically, Royce. Like, awful numbers. And
horrible.
Like,
his PR was like a 3 or something.
Well, he just like... he couldn't score in the paint. and he was like, he couldn't play defense. He was like shooting layups. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a little bit, it's too early to say. I like hate to like be mean to rookies because also it's like, it's crazy. They're like 20 years old. They're like living out in different weird cities. Right. So yeah, who knows what they got to do.
Least improved player of the year?
Who do you have?
Monte Ellis of the Milwaukee Bucks.
That's not fair.
It is fair. He has been the same player for 5 or 6 years. So when,
so when does it become least improvement? When does it become like consistency?
Consistency.
I would vote Monte Ellis.
This is a variance category.
I would vote Monte Ellis the most consistent player because he is consistent in whatever system he's in. He can go to a new team and he's still
shuck up 50. It's only because I have a sort of optimistic girlfriend relationship to Monte Ellis, how I sort of had the same thing with J.R. Smith, but J.R. Smith actually got better, and Monte Ellis is sort of a similar character in his volume shooting and such, but he's the exact same person, while J.R. Smith, I was like, I should have dated him, but I'm still stuck with Monte.
Yeah, right. J.R. Smith was only attractive for 1 month, and he's going to go back to the same old
once
they go to the playoffs.
I'm editing that sentence out later. Worst coach of the year. Do you want to put a least improved?
Least improved, I would say, is Rasheed Wallace.
Sure, because he's so old.
No, he retired. Like that's how much less could you improve than like leaving the game
after being injured the whole season?
When like people like are relying on you, or I guess not sane people, but yeah. So no, I would. I don't think anybody really got that much worse as a basketball player, except for the people who are no longer with us. So.
Worst coach, D'Antoni.
No, Scott Skiles. He just like left his team. He was fed up, and then his team is actually like not that bad, and they make the playoffs. I don't know. Come on, like you gotta. There's some shitty coaches. Doug Collins, like I don't know.
Very horrible, but he had a situation.
But he had a bad situation. I guess yeah. You got to give it to D'Antoni. I mean, like
the worst coach ever.
Yeah,
make him stop.
He probably didn't manage it the best way. I would say, but also that's a hard situation. I don't know.
All the work that Italian American basketball coaches are doing in college, not counting Rutgers,
being destroyed by
destroyed by D'Antoni on the professional level.
So then, where does Del Negro fit in that?
Right. Yeah, I guess. I mean, we just need Petrino to go to the NBA.
Oh, no. He's that sneak. Keep him out.
Worst executive of the year.
I mean, it goes to Jordan until someone else someone else steals it.
We'll give it to Jordan, too. Are the Maloofs the...
The Kings. Yeah.
They're the executives, too, or just the...
No, they're just the owners.
They suck, too.
There's a lot of bad executives. Every lottery team, like, is not really...
We'll give it to Michael Jordan, though. Let's give him a negative award.
Come on, man. Like, you just have to...
Although Kemba Walker isn't, you know, he's probably...
They have good young players, but yeah. Well,
Byron Mullins is fun.
It's important. It's symbolic to make Jordan, like, feel shitty in his old age so that, like...
Where's that Michael Jordan competitive spirit?
Exactly.
He apparently doesn't care, though.
He felt so good for so long.
Yeah.
Go get a new Hanes shirt and think about it.
Biggest surprise of the NBA season for you? Good surprise, then bad. Good first.
I mean, the surprise is like the West. I just think the West is so interesting. And I think I'm surprised by how well Golden State did and how well Houston did. I mean, I had an idea that the other teams would be, like the other higher teams would be successful. But I just think that the fact that these lower seeded West teams were playing so well and beating so many good opponents was a pretty good surprise.
Sidebar real talk. Would you support eliminating conferences and having best teams?
I think basically the Heat should swap places with the Lakers. And the Heat should be the 8 seed, and they actually have to fight their way, 8 seed in the West, and they have to fight their way through. And then meanwhile, the Lakers sort of get to prey on these like weird, like bad East teams. And maybe that gives the Lakers a better chance at succeeding. And it gives the Heat like some really awesome series as opposed to like three straight, you know, massacres.
Good surprise how terrible the Lakers were versus how incredible the Denver Nuggets were. The West is great. How interesting and intriguing and awesome the West is perfectly mirrored by how boring and terrible the East is. I don't want to watch any of those two. That'll ruin my Knicks-Celtics preview. That's a tease right there. All of those series are terrible. It got slightly more interesting. I guess the Nets-Chicago series might be watchable.
Yeah, I mean, thank goodness we didn't get an Atlanta Brooklyn series. That's all we have to say.
You know who's pissed off though? The Ambien stockholders.
That's true. They were banking on a lot of new subscriptions during that series. But
well, now, I guess it would actually offset the sales of Ambien because it would put you to sleep for how horribly boring it was.
Right. Actually, I think Ambien...
Ambien's cheering. They should buy the Barclay Center. It should be the Ambien Center.
Ambien should go... Yeah. Well, who needs Ambien is like the people in the... who are staying up late to watch all these West Coast games. I guess maybe they don't need Ambien either. Maybe Ambien just loses once the... Yeah.
My Coke dealer loves that.
Your Coke dealer.
It's like, go Lakers. Anyway, worst surprise of the year.
Well, I think the Lakers is a worst surprise because I wanted them to be good.
Did you?
Yeah.
I always want them to fail.
Well, I mean, I'm from the West Coast, so, and I love Nash, and I felt like that situation was just, more than anything else, was like curious. And the fact that it just was such a failure on every front is a little bit upsetting. But
meanwhile, the Knicks signed just as many old players who weren't as good, and they were much better. Anyway, mine is that asshole Kevin Love screwing the poor Minnesota Timberwolves franchise
and my fantasy team. Yeah, oh my god,
I'm sorry.
Took you in the first round. It's all right, Kevin. I know you weren't thinking about that when you were doing those knuckle push-ups. But
all those poor people that talk like Fargo characters—they're just screwed. Like, what are they doing? Poor Ricky Rubio too. We're finally able to watch Ricky Rubio. And what does he have around him? Pekovic is okay.
Karolinko, I guess. Yeah,
Horse Sixth Man of the Year.
You know, I don't know. They have to win more than 25 games to win that award. But yeah, it was disappointing. I mean, like, it's just also disappointing in any universe where, like, people who are, like, good at doing things can't do them.
Yeah, there's a very small window for NBA players, and he's in his prime.
And
I guess he's what, 26?
Yeah, he's depressingly not much older than us. But we hope you get well, Kevin.
I don't. Stay hurt, jerk. Suck that franchise drive money that Kevin Garnett did for 30 years, then leave and win a championship.
That's like a really perverse,
sorry,
strange, specific desire.
Minnesota's a beautiful state. If given the mystical power to repair one catastrophic leg injury, which would you fix? Derrick Rose's torn ACL, Rajon Rondo's torn ACL, Gallinari's torn ACL, Shumpert's torn ACL, Kobe's broken Achilles tendon, or the guy on Louisville's whose leg is just fucked up?
Well, the guy in Louisville is having a great time getting a lot of, like, you know, cutting down the nets, getting tweets from LeBron. So, well, he's cool.
Shumpert's is fixed, too. So
Shumpert's is fixed, so he's fine. His hair is he had longer time to grow out his hair. So, you know, got to give him credit for that.
Yeah.
Gallo... Yeah, that one's really depressing. Kobe, I would be more sad about, but last night during the Lakers game, he was providing commentary, like up to the second commentary. For instance, when Chandler Parsons hit that game-tying three, Kobe was like, damn, why didn't we foul? We had one to give. And that just, to me, opened this magical door of him, like,
on the commenting. Sideline and
commenting, like, this whole playoffs. So I just providing this up to the second commentary the whole playoffs, and I mean, I've loved nothing more about Kobe this year than his like increased web presence. So I want to keep that going. I'm gonna keep him injured. Rose is gonna come back magically in the second round and to play the Heat. So that'll be exciting. And like Stern, I know Stern loves that. So that's gonna happen.
You think that's gonna happen?
Yeah, Stern's.
You think they're going to beat the Brooklyn Nets?
Stern's going to do that. No spoilers, but yeah, that's going to happen.
The fix is already in.
Basically, the one I would repair, the one guy who I love to watch this time of year and who is really going to be sad without him is Rondo, because he does things no one else can do, and especially during this time of year, feels just more unpredictable and strange and curious than ever. So
one of the weirdest players in the NBA.
So incredible.
We're going to link the supercut of Rondo receiving the ball off the initial tip-off.
One of the best NBA routines. But, yeah, so I would love to have that little guy back. Just also because what the hell is he doing right now? I mean,
he played through the whole game when he hurt it. And he was ready to go the next game. Like, oh, no, your ACL's torn. Okay.
So we need to keep our enigmas close, and I think he's one of the best, so...
Derrick Rose sat out the whole season, so I'm not giving him my magic. And I hate the rationale that people say, since the Heat are in the East as well, that the Bulls have no chance and Derrick Rose might as well wait. But LeBron is most likely going to be with the Heat for the next 5 or so years. What, is Derrick Rose going to sit out the next 5 years while LeBron's on the Heat and cry? No, he's not getting it.
just wait and see who Jimmy Butler becomes. He's going to become LeBron 2.0.
I don't think the Celtics are talented enough to justify my fixing Rondo's ACL, even though I love watching Rondo. Shumpert's his fix. Lakers, even if Kobe's was fixed, would get crushed in the first round, no matter who they play. Louisville guy, they rigged the NBA, the NCAA championship for him.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And the Nuggets would be the best team to watch in the playoffs, no matter who they play, I think, if Gallo was still on the court.
Aww.
It's very sad. A lot of Nuggets love in
you
here.
You gotta respect your I got brunch, Italian.
I got brunch and the rooster.
Do you see the, yeah, Gallo's, the celebration?
Amazing.
The, yeah, so.
the way he inspires that bench is incredible.
Gallo hit a three and he had the whole Nuggets bench kissing their fingers. And it was just really this great sort of like cross-cultural moment. And
very beautiful. You know, D'Antoni, as I said, is doing a lot of damage to the Italian-American image. Gallo was trying to fix it. And after D'Antoni was destroying him in New York, putting down all his talents. Anyway, Gallo, I would fix you. The second round matchup between OKC.
Isn't that a...
And they match up so well with Gallo against OKC, and I think that's the team that would really, like, really push them to the limit. And to see the Nuggets in the finals would be insane.
Gallo, I would fix you. That's, like, coming up from the upcoming romantic comedy, or romantic drama, where...
Ti piace, Gallo. Arrivederci. Dunk of the year.
The LeBron dunk on Terry, just because... It's already
we're going to link to this in the appendix.
It's already like an NBA commercial, one of those black and white NBA commercials, because there's a steal, there's a good no-look pass, and then there's a dunk on like a sort of a poor, unsuspecting, small Celtics man. So, yeah, NBA, you know, just go ahead, put that into slow-mo.
And there's so much history with LeBron and Jason Terry, too, that he would, I mean, he's sort of renowned for trash talk, and he was talking, he would... be on LeBron a lot during that Mavericks Heat series when the Mavericks won. Also, Celtics history. They were the team that knocked LeBron out of the playoffs 3 years in a row when he was with Cleveland.
A lot riding there. All this was going through LeBron's head when he was jumping. I mean, every set you can see it in his blinks.
One of the most well-earned technicals of the year, I think.
But no, that's, I mean, that dunk. There's some other great dunks. But
I'm giving it to DeAndre Jordan over Brandon Knight.
That... So, Carmen, what do you think about the dunks? I think the Clippers have sort of popularized these in, like, the Lob City era. The dunks where you sort of throw it into the basket.
No, those don't count. I don't count those.
But the DeAndre one sort of is.
No, it's not like that. No, that one, he definitely touched rim.
He touched rim.
The Blake Griffin dunk from last year, I don't even consider that a dunk. And I don't consider the stupid Dwight Howard Superman dunk a dunk either. What is that?
It's just like a high downward toss. Yeah, there we go. A leaping downward toss. That's a good way to like discourage.
Back to the DeAndre dunk.
Anyway, sorry.
R.I.P. Brandon Knight was trending on Twitter afterwards, which is incredible.
It's unfortunate.
The way his body landed on the ground and then his whole team couldn't even help him. They were so in shock. The surrounding reactions, not only from the Clippers bench, but from, they had a beautiful shot of some children who were at the game in the front row dancing as Brandon Knight writhed on the ground in pain. It was like visual art, the way that they cut it.
And then that reaction shot of DeAndre sort of like, ooh, like shivering.
Really great.
Yeah, little really beady great. Eyes. Yeah, it was pretty good. All right.
We'll put both of those on the appendix. Regular season game of the year. Oh, also... mentioned the only highlight from the Bobcat season, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist over Greg Monroe and the
fantastic dunk.
Awesome dunk. The way he just like cocks it back. A nice, you know, dunk cock, if you want to call it that.
Dunk
classic,
cock.
Classic dunk cock.
I think Carmen just
put that in the Urban Dictionary.
Just made that a thing, the dunk cock. Tell all your NBA bros about that. There's some JR had a great
giant
dunk.
Dunk cock.
Fareed had some incredible alley-oops, so we love all the other dunkers out there. You know, don't think that we're forgetting about you, but...
Regular season game of the year.
I guess it's sort of a small tie. The most competitive game I saw was the Memphis-Oklahoma City one where Marcus Gasol tipped it in with 2 seconds left to win the game. But the most fun I had watching a basketball game was the Curry... Madison Square Garden onslaught, because I think nothing is more beautiful than watching someone shoot the ball like that.
Right.
That sounds cheesy.
And it's one of the few arenas, I think, in the league where people are such admirers, they know so much about basketball and are such admirers of the sport that they will cheer I think, actively for a person who's going off like that in the building.
And it's amazing how much that building inspires good performances from opposing teams. But yeah, that was probably the coolest performance. But that, I mean, the Oklahoma City-Memphis game, don't sleep on that. That one's a good one.
I mean, the easy pick is Bulls Heat.
Yeah.
Where they break the streak. Whenever I see Nate Robinson going into sort of kill mode, something triggers in my brain and I get very excited. Except when he's doing it against the Knicks. Asshole. I'm not giving it to that game though because I hate the Heat. And I actually really enjoyed the Knicks-Nets series, which is a cheap move. The first game they won by 2 or 3. The second game went into overtime and the third game was really close. And they were great, great games that...
Yeah, the Jason Kidd 3 in Brooklyn. I mean, that was an unbelievable play. I mean, I like the fact that there's a sense of rivalry created through that.
Wasn't happening in New Jersey.
However, yeah, artificial or arbitrary it may be. But, yeah, I wish they could be playing in the playoffs because, unfortunately, any other Brooklyn matchup just seems so, I don't know, dreadful.
They should have thrown the season like the Atlanta Hawks. Why aren't they intelligent? What are we doing, PJ?
You just call the Atlanta Hawks intelligent?
for
tanking to get the Pacers?
Why? The Pacers are trending down right now.
Yeah.
Why? You think the Pacers are good?
I think the Pacers are pretty good. Let's get to it.
Wait, you want to talk about the Pacers or you want to talk Tweet of the Year?
Oh, Tweet of the Year? Oh, yeah, I guess we should do that then.
No one wants to hear about the Indiana Pacers. They have the worst fans in the league. Anyway... Tweet of the Year. Do you have a pick for this?
You're more researched than I, so go ahead.
I mean, we're giving it to Tony Allen no matter what.
Why don't you go through... First of all, I just want to say that...
I have a lot written here.
That NBA Twitter, to me, is just this magical universe.
It's an art form.
It sounds stupid, like, you know, like coming just through this microphone, but, like, if you just are able to spend a little bit of, like, Twitter time with some of these stars, like, you will find, like, I mean, endless sort of... reservoirs of like happiness and joy and like weird crap, like horrible punctuation, you know, interesting twit picks. Like I think it's just really cool that we can have access to these guys.
It is so good. I have retrospectively imagined the creators of Twitter, whoever they were, some NYU students. They're sitting around and they're watching an NBA game and they think, we have to give these guys a platform to speak. And they've done it.
Because they have so much to say.
But back go ahead, to Tony
spill
Allen.
Spill it, Carmen. Who are your all-stars? Who's your all
my
Twitter team?
My top three is Tony Allen is at 1. JaVale McGee is at 3. Because Tony Allen is that good. And then Kobe is at 4. Those are my Twitter
That's
top three.
Good list.
You can throw in some curveballs if you want. Those are like
not so many. I mean, I would say like JR is probably somewhere up there, less so for his poignancy and more so for like the
booty pics.
The lateness of his tweets. Like he'll tweet at like 4 or 5 a.m. like the day before a game, and you're just like, regardless of what the content is, you're like, all
he's
right,
somewhere.
This
he's
is
somewhere
the
ins- weird.
This is the this is the insight. Actually, there's a guy on the internet who did a study. Every morning, J.R. Smith tweets like "Good morning, world," like when he wakes up or something, or a beautiful day. And he does this every morning. And then this guy just basically took the moment when he woke up, just recorded his sleeping habits. Basically, would record when he first tweeted and record when he would last tweet, and tried to decide if they correlated to game success. The answer is not much.
Great answer. Back to Tony Allen. For the people at home, this is Tony. We're going to give some preliminary tweets. I'm going to my favorite Tony Allen tweets, which involve the R&B artist Nia. This is Tony Allen on Kesha, verbatim. Who is this Madonna daughter? ! Tony Allen on advertising. Why all these commercials got something, numerical 2, do with a capital G ghost, or somebody popping out of nowhere, ! Or some futuristic scene.
So what is that about?
I think it's about commercials in general. Why all these commercials got something to do with a ghost or somebody popping out of nowhere or some futuristic scene.
Well, he likes the classic commercials that take place in sort of familiar settings.
He likes some Don Draper advertising.
Definitely.
And then on to his Neo rant.
How did this start? Do you know?
Something, I think he went to a Neo concert the day before the game. I have no idea. This is a 4-tweet rant. 1. I wonder which numerical one of these players, capital L, listen numerical 2, all caps, Neo, before a capital G game, space, comma, space, LOL, all caps. First one. Quickly go through it. I wonder which one of these players listened to Neo before a game, LOL. Part 2. Keep it real, comma. If I played my playlist, two words, with all Neo, exclamation point, I'm prepared, numerical 2, capital F, foul out the first quarter, backslash, backslash. Keep it real. If I filled my playlist with all Neo, I'm prepared to foul out in the first quarter.
So the Neo is making him violent. Yes. Like that's,
it gets better. Part 3. I can see the locker room now, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Looking at me like, backslash, somebody slipped something in all caps, to Gatorade.
Is that T.A.'s Gatorade? Is that Tony Allen's Gatorade or ta Gatorade?
I think it's both. Ta Gatorade, space, comma, space, killa tripping, 4 exclamation points. Go over that one again.
I wish I felt the way that he does when I listen to Neo. But.
I can see the locker room now. Look at me like somebody slipped something into Gatorade, killa tripping. Part 4. So I'm gone, stick to that get crunk music when I'm preparing for a battle. Hashtag GNG.
Hmm.
I don't know what GNG is.
Grit and grind. That's like his motto, I guess.
And then some JaVale, just some JaVale McGee ephemera. Anyway,
so Tony, I mean, I just want to like dissect this a little bit. So basically what Tony's getting at, if I'm not mistaken, Carmen, is that like the Neo gets him too fired up, and he has to listen to Crunk because that is like a more natural exploration of
makes
of
perfect sense
preparation. All right, I guess I get it.
On a JaVale McGee, he had two really great twit picks. One was of a DJ Roomba that he built from Parks and Rec fame. Another was a text from his mother that said, with some spelling errors, "I'm so proud to be yo mama when you go into kill mode squared." In all capital letters. And then his 9/11 tweet is incredible. God bless everybody who lost someone on 9/1. He forgot the second one there.
No, actually, there was a lot of people who died.
Oh, on yeah, 9/1 that's
as
sad.
Well. Yeah.
I mean, people die every day. It's sad.
But especially 9/1.
Our prayers are with them as well.
Those are great ones. Yeah. I mean,
he also tweets under an assumed cartoon identity known as Pierre. And will tweet and then retweet his own tweet and delete the original tweet. Does that
Why
a
does
lot.
He, he's
does
just,
that a
he's
lot.
He just make another account. I mean, that would be fun. But
He's under Pierre McGee.
Oh, okay. Well, I like that. I mean, like,
It's very conceptual. Very, very conceptual.
We're not learning about their identities. We're learning about their alter egos as well. Like, that's important, you know, as a fan. Is to know.
So we're going to do the Eastern Conference playoffs predictions now.
Sure.
We're going to throw out a thanks again to the Hawks of Atlanta for intentionally losing the last 3 games of their season to avoid the Brooklyn versus Atlanta Tempur-Pedic Bowl.
Yes, the sleep train.
the sleep train arena. The Ambient Center. The anyway, we're going to go through. We got 4 series. Heat versus Bucks. Say who you predict to win and in how many games they will win.
I love the Bucks. They're one of my favorite League Pass teams to watch.
Great League Pass team.
J.J. Redick.
Least improved player of the year.
J.J. Redick, Larry Sanders, like a bunch of strange big guys, Drew Henson, Dallin Barrett, and of course, Monta, who, like, for all of his faults,
Brandon
like, has
Jennings.
A lot of highlight plays. Some of my favorite plays.
He's a great scorer.
And yeah, I still don't think they win a game. I think Miami wins it in 4.
I'm going to give him 1. I'm going to give him 1 in Milwaukee that the,
Miami's up too late. Yeah, the Heat are out too late partying in Milwaukee.
TNT will be like, we need to stretch this series out.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I have Heat in 5. Knicks Celtics. People are saying this is going to be the most competitive series. I don't think it will be. You go first.
It'll certainly be like a talky, angry series. There's going to be like a lot of like riffraff.
Honey Nut Cheerios in the crowd.
Throwing around. Yeah. Hopefully Lala and Carmelo are doing well. You know, God bless their relationship. But I don't think Jeff Green is good enough to like be good Jeff Green for more than 2 games. I think Knicks win in 6.
I have Knicks in 5. Jeff Green, I wish he would go up. He's actually awesome to watch when he's playing well. But which Jeff Green shows up, you never have any idea.
I think that there's only a 30% chance that good Jeff Green shows up the whole series.
It's very rarely with that enlarged heart. And he has the biggest heart in the league, physically and metaphorically. Too soon? The doctor was in the crowd when he had that 45-point game.
And he was just, they just have to have the doctor sweating the whole time. He's like, "Well, come on, Jeff, go back to normal."
Indiana, Atlanta. Wow, who wants to watch this?
I like Indiana.
Where do you think they're streaming this game on?
You got to go to the Pacers bar, which is sort of, I don't know, under a overpass somewhere. But no, I mean, I think Hibbert started off the season playing horribly, and he's playing well now. I think they have like a pretty good defensive unit. David West is cool. Paul George obviously has emerged as like kind of this cool scorer. It's something that is always something to watch out for is that these good players who like are having their first really great season, like when they hit the playoffs, that's kind of that sometimes sort of falls away. So we'll have to look out for Paul and see if he's able to sustain his success in the playoffs. But I do think that they will sweep Atlanta because Atlanta sucks
very bad.
And they just don't want to be there. No other NBA franchise makes me think that that profession as like employment more than Atlanta does. Because like I feel like they're just guys who have like figured out how to do their job well enough to like get the playoff bonus, and then like sort of like they're already planning their trip to, you know, whatever, the Caribbean.
I feel as though Jeff Teague tries.
Well, I mean, he does. Like
he's still on Atlanta.
He's on a team with like a bunch of older guys who like try less than they should. So
I have Indiana in five. Whatever. Maybe they'll give the Hawks a game, a nice game in Atlanta, so they can feel good about themselves. That's what the Hawks do every year. They get one game.
There's parties in Atlanta, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Outcast songs. That's probably true. About
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Two Chainz might be from there.
There you go. Two Chainz could like distract.
Yeah.
The Pacers with like a night out, like
to go back for one sec. Respect to Blake Griffin, whose Twitter profile description is "I bought 2 Chainz his second chain." Very nice profile.
Ugh.
Good for him.
I'm not supportive of that.
We could talk about Blake Griffin when we get to the West. Brooklyn versus Chicago. This I think is the most interesting series and the most competitive. Carmen? I have the Nets in seven.
Why the Nets?
Hmm?
Why the Nets?
I think they're secretly good. But Chicago, I also think, is not as great as people think they are. They play really well against good teams, and they play really poorly against bad teams. And the Nets are closer to a bad team, I think, than a great team. So the Nets are going to squeak it out.
Interesting. So Chicago will actually lose the series by playing down to Brooklyn's level.
Correct.
Is what you're saying.
Correct.
You heard it here first. I have Chicago in six just because I think that they have more playoff experience, which actually does matter for things. And I think that they also make the necessary adjustments. So they could lose a few games, but I think that Thibodeau is like flexible enough to make changes to be more successful.
In defense of the Nets, Deron Williams is playing at his 2010 levels right now, which he wasn't doing in the beginning of the season. Blatch, I think, can match up well against Boozer and Deng on the inside. And Brook Lopez is one of the few centers in the league that actually plays basketball.
One of the other centers who plays basketball is Joakim Noah, who will shut down Brook Lopez.
Isn't he injured?
No, he's coming. He's there.
I think he's injured.
Oh, we'll have to check that. You could edit that out if he is.
Hold on, we're gonna check that. Okay, you have to check that. Go on the. We'll have our producers check that.
Carmen, you have to know that Derrick Rose is coming back in the second round. So
they need to preserve that narrative.
Exactly. It's all been orchestrated by Stern with the lizard people.
Right. The spider god who controls the NBA.
All right, Carmen's right. So Noah's not going to be there for the first round. So now my prediction is looking pretty faulty, but
I accept that rightness. Moving on to the West. Oklahoma City, Houston Rockets. I think we're going to disagree a lot more on this in this conference, maybe.
Possibly. I don't know. All these series are fun. I'm just going to put that out there. I think that there's something to watch in all of these, and it's unfortunate that we all lead lives where we're probably not going to be able to watch these. But you know, try your best, everybody.
Babysitting is tiring.
You can't multitask like that. You get in trouble. They put something in the microwave. And
who do you have? Houston, Oklahoma City. Say
Oklahoma City in seven.
7.
I think that, you know, Harden is one element of it, but I also think, like, as top dogs, Oklahoma City is still has a little bit of ways to go. They have a different lineup this year. They don't have their bearded savior to pull them out of tough scenarios anymore. And I think Houston plays so hard that they're gonna really give everything they have. They already have a pretty small rotation, so I think it's nothing about that is gonna change. And I think it's gonna go 7, but I think Oklahoma City's gonna pull it out.
Me too. I also think it's gonna go 7 games. And you know, Oklahoma City's offense is so strange to watch. They have no rhythm. It's like all one-on-one stuff. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Martin's shot looks like Miles Silver's waiting for the bus in elementary school. It's like this horrible, disgusting Sean Marion byproduct. And and Scott Brooks isn't...
He's got the windup.
...isn't a good coach, I don't think.
Probably not. And it's funny.
The Heat won one, thick quotation marks around that. Avenue thick quotation marks. Won the championship last year because Scott Brooks got out-coached by Spoelstra, I think.
Yeah.
So, the Houston Rockets, you guys have a chance. You could do it. Next series. San Antonio. Lakers.
Not this year. Next year after you sign a free agent. Lakers. San Antonio. I'm jumping the gun. Congratulations, Los Angeles. You're going to win one game this playoff.
All that work.
2013 playoff, yeah.
You took 5 years off Pau Gasol's life.
The Spurs, I think Lakers are going to win the first game, and it's just going to incite this, like, this stream of, you know, speculation, and, like, are the Lakers as good as everyone thought they would be?
And the Spurs will come in all business.
And then the Spurs will literally make one adjustment and, like, win the next 4 games by 15. I mean, the paint defense of the interior defense of Los Angeles is pretty cool right now, and I think it's probably the best
in the
league.
Twin Towers.
But unfortunately, no one on the wings can guard anybody, and I think that a team that executes well, like San Antonio, is just going to have a lot of fun with this. So
I'm going to give the Lakers 2 wins in this series because Tony Parker is banged up. Manu Ginobili is a question mark. On the court and off the court, whether he's going to be hurt off the court or on the court, and who knows who's showing up. So I give the Lakers 2 wins, but, I mean, you still have Tim Duncan, who is, I guess, I would put him second in MVP voting to LeBron.
And I'm a little bit hesitant about, like, being so confident with the Spurs just because, like,
last... They're notorious playoff underachievers.
Yeah, last year they were such... They did so well in the regular season with this, like, sort of motley crew of guards and, you know, Gary Neal... Danny Green, and they played like crap in the playoffs, and so I think that experience will maybe lead to them playing well this playoffs. That is maybe not certain, but hopeful.
Denver Nuggets, Golden State Warriors.
I love the Warriors, but there's no way that they can beat they can win one game even in Denver.
No one can win a game in Denver.
Denver is 38-3 at home this season. So, I mean, good luck. And Golden State plays probably about 100 feet above sea level. So, yeah, I think, Denver, they're a little bit banged up.
David Lee is going to be gassed.
David Lee will not make it down the court. David Lee will not have very many double-doubles. But, yeah, no, I think Denver wins in 5. They're just too physical, too good defensively.
Denver in 5 as well, which is a shame because I would like to see Golden State in the playoffs more.
Me too.
Put them in the East. Move to Charlotte. Trade. Send the Bobcats west. Whatever.
And I would love to see it.
Do you want to talk about the T-shirt jerseys?
What are the T-shirt? Oh, the
Golden State Warrior T-shirt jerseys.
No, we don't have to acknowledge their existence.
Why? It's a great selling point. It sticks in the psyche.
Would you wear a T-shirt jersey?
Never.
Okay.
It's very restrictive. But the original prototype that they showed, it was like, who was it that they had on?
It was like Harrison Barnes.
Harrison Barnes, I think. It was more like a superhero outfit.
Right.
That looks great. Yeah, but when they show it, it looks like a thrift store T-shirt.
It looks like, yeah, that like what like someone who thinks of like the normal Superman costume and then what they think of like the new Superman costume, which is just has a lot more like weird mesh holes in it. And
right.
I don't know, like more texture. Who wants more texture on their basketball?
More T-shirt jerseys is what we're voting for.
No.
Clippers, Memphis. This is also probably the most competitive, I think.
I mean, this is awesome. These teams match up pretty well. They both have like
they have a history from last year.
Yeah, they have a history. I think Memphis's guards have improved. I mean, they're obviously not going to be as good as Chris Paul is, but I do think if Memphis can score, and if Conley and like Bayless can play well, I think they will beat the Clippers in seven.
And personality-wise, the two teams are completely opposed.
So right.
The Clippers with Blake Griffin with all his commercials and Chris Paul giggling in the stands during the All-Star game. Then you have the Memphis
Chris
Grizzlies.
Chris Paul has his commercials as well.
Those are Cliff Paul's commercials.
Ugh, dear Lord. Are we acknowledging the existence of those as well?
But the Memphis Grizzlies, there's a bunch of blue-collar back alley scrubs that have been thrown together and are quite good, actually.
It'll be really fun. You should watch as many of these as you can.
I have Grizzlies in six. I think the Clippers are ghost good. They beat up on a lot of bad teams. They're not that great against. They're okay. They're actually good against Memphis because they match up well. But when they play against higher caliber teams, they're not great.
And also the thing about the playoffs too is like in these long series, and this series is probably going to be long. Like, I mean, coaching adjustments are pretty important, and I just don't think Del Negro is like experienced enough or just intuitive enough to make these good decisions. He's sort of a ball of like weird energy that I don't think like you really want to rely on in the clutch.
Stupid Italian Americans. Anyway, to tie it up, finals prediction.
So are we moving through there?
It's a wormhole when you get into the I did a podcast with my roommate about the NFL playoffs, and once you predict different things for the rounds, like I guess we predicted
just goes
all the
into
same.
The portal, yeah.
But if we all did the same, we could totally do a second round if you want.
Well, I have Memphis over Oklahoma City in seven. In the second round.
Second round?
Yeah.
Ooh, do you?
Yeah.
See, now you would get... Because I have the Thunder in the finals.
Okay, well, there you go.
I
have Memphis over Oklahoma City in seven. Another, like, sort of grueling, exhausting series. And in the other side, I have San Antonio over Denver in six. So then it leads to like a San Antonio-Memphis final. And I just think Memphis is too burnt out after a 2-7-game series. I think San Antonio beats Memphis and ends up in the finals.
You want to do the East? Do you have someone other than the Heat coming out of the East?
That is an appropriate wormhole. I mean, I think I think Indiana beats the Knicks. And I think Indiana plays the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. And that is like probably the only news to report because I think... unless LeBron suffers a sort of catastrophic double broken leg on one of his chase down blocks, I don't think there's any way the Heat are being stopped.
Interesting, because I have the Knicks in the finals. That's my homer pick.
And why? And justify that for
2-1 against them in the regular season. No, they were three. Wait, were 2-1 or 3-0?
I'm not sure.
You could say, oh, the Heat weren't playing, but they match up well against them. Carmelo has the monkey on his back. Everyone from his draft class, LeBron won, Dwayne Wade won. They have all the momentum, I think, going into the playoffs.
They're
going to crush Boston.
Regular season success depended on old guys hitting threes. Like, I don't know if that's...
It's going to translate.
I don't know if
they played very well against the Heat.
They did, and they'll play well against the Heat. Well, not this year, but I don't know. They have to beat Indiana. Indiana's good.
Fuck Indiana. They're terrible. They beat them by 40 the other night.
Yeah, they also lost to them by 40 right after the All-Star break.
When they weren't even playing basketball after the All-Star break. So I had Knicks over Thunder in six.
Oh, my goodness. So
you wait.
So what happens? So New York Knicks win the championship. Where are you celebrating? What are you doing? Are you burning things? Are you lighting trash cans on fire?
I'm smashing something. I would buy something to smash, something really beautiful. No. I would buy like a Russian mail order bride and kill her in the street. Do you have any closing comments? Things you want to say to your fans at home or
no?
Shout out to the
I'm
kid
just
you babysit.
Yeah, shout out to Billy. Billy, what's up? I'll see you.
He would support my Knicks pick.
Of course, he irresponsibly loves the Knicks. Yeah, so
do I.
That seems to be like the defining characteristic of most Knicks fans is like this.
We've been starved for so long. We've come to the mirage in the desert. It's time to drink.
It's still a mirage, dude. It'll be a mirage until I don't know what happens. I mean, they have a good team this year. I hope they go far, but
they're the only team that could.
They're coming up against a player of historical significance in the prime of his career, and I just don't think they're getting past that. However, I would love to celebrate on the streets of New York with Knicks fans, and maybe you'll see me there, fans, if that actually comes to fruition. But if not, I just hope you enjoy the playoffs and all that has to offer, and just follow Tony Allen on Twitter. Oh, and also, we're going to be writing about about the playoffs on bigplayoffs.tumblr.com, just sort of loose association of articles and other playoff miscellany. But yeah, it'll be fun. So if you got a Tumblr, bigplayoffs.tumblr.com.
Great stuff. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Carmen. Good luck. And I don't know. That's it. I'm so fat, I'm so tight. My name is so rise, so rise, so rise. I'm so fat, I'm so tight. My name is crossed over from Journeyman.